Okay, good morning. We're doing Hadlakas Neros. And we're in the middle of Reish Samech Gemel. We're in the middle of Seif Hey. So until now we read, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you say the bracha, and then you light the candles. Haga. Yesh mi she'omer, some say actually, she'mevarchin kodem hadlaka. What do you do first? You say the bracha, and then you light. Right? This is the custom by, in general, most Ashkenazim, if not all, and by many Sephardim. And that is brought down, this is the custom of the Ben Ish Chai, to say the bracha, to light first and then say the bracha. And the Kaf HaChaim says that is the minag by many Sephardim. And whenever there's a minag, we never say, Safek Brachot LaHakel, if that's the minag to say the bracha, and there's something to be somechan, and that's okay. But many Sfardim Paskin, we said according to the Shulchan Aruch. V'yesh mi she'omer, she'mevarech achar hadlaka. And some say, wait, you say the bracha only after you light. Why? V'chadei she'he'over la'asiyato. Now in order to, the reason why they do this is because when they say the bracha, they hold, you are accepting Shabbos. By definition, the moment you say the bracha, that is like saying baruchu, it's like saying I accept Shabbos.
Sounding just like a
Yeah.
Right?
I understand.
I'm just wondering, grammatically,
I understand.
You like lit hadik, right? I'm just wondering, how are we getting to?
So it's really this whole svara is not really, how do we say it? It was probably not the way it was originally established. It is probably not the original way it must be done. For example, Rabbi Akiva Eger was Ashkenazi. He says tzarachi and gadol on this because what do you mean? When a person says the bracha and then lights, he knows he's not accepting Shabbos. He's about to light the candles and light fire. So apparently some of the poskim point out, apparently later on, sometime in European history, they decided to get the woman to accept Shabbos when they say the bracha. Why? Because then if they're going to say the bracha, this is how some explain, then they're going to light the candles. And then they're going to think, just because they said the bracha, they can light fire, then they can do this, then they can do that, and before you know it, there might be a Chol Shabbos. So the best thing to do is to have the woman, like the men go to shul, they say Kabbalah Shabbos, Boichala, Boichala, we say, or Kala, then we say, or Baruch Hu, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, women should say something and accept Shabbos. So now, here we are, 21st century, or whenever it was, a few hundred years ago, right? Whatever, 800 years ago, whenever, I'm not sure when this started, but it probably was later on, and it became that saying the bracha is now accepting Shabbos. So, a little bit of a catch 22 maybe, but that's Lamaisa. Okay, how it works. But even the Ramah agrees. What do you mean? We still have to have over la'asiyatan. You still have to say the bracha and then get the benefit. If you're lighting and then saying the bracha, what are you doing afterwards to make it so that it's as if you did the mitzvah after the bracha? So what do the women do? Mesimina yad lifnei ner achar lakatan umavarchin. They cover the candles with their hand, or some cover their eyes with their hands, so that ve'achar kach, and then after they say the bracha mesalkin ayad, then they remove their hands and then they see the light, they get the hana from the light. Vizem mikre over la'asya, and this is also the condition of over la'asya tan. V'chen ha-minhag satisfies. There you go, and that is the custom. Okay. I think that's about it. We're going to get to later, but just to touch upon now, we say that really when you accept the bracha, we're going to see, certainly according to Ashkenazi, when you say the bracha, you accept Shabbos. But a woman who doesn't want to accept Shabbos, let's say she's got a lot to do, and she wants to light 20 minutes before Shabbos, and she doesn't want to run in, light candles a minute before Shabbos, and there's something she needs to take care of. So what you can do is light candles, and then have in mind specifically, b'feirush, you're not accepting Shabbos when you say the bracha. You're not accepting Shabbos when you light the candles, and that's fine. At least bishat etzarech, and then you can go ahead and do what you need to do up until Shabbos, preferably a couple minutes before, at least to have to accept Shabbos. Make sure you're not bumping into tzeis. Sometimes people need to go to shul. I know this is, sometimes women want to go to shul Friday night. They have to go somewhere to eat. So that's a way out. Yom Kippur, more common, going to shul. But different scenarios, Leil Tevila, different scenarios when a woman doesn't want to accept Shabbos right away. Okay. Vav. I think that's where we are. Okay. As far as the order for Yom Tov, I think the most popular minhag quoted by the Magen Avraham, I think it's what most women do, is that no difference for Yom Tov. You say the bracha afterwards for Ashkenazim. But Mishneh Berurah says, since it's Yom Tov and Ochel Nefesh, you can really, it should be the way that the Shulchan Aruch writes. But, okay, either way is fine. Vav. Okay, this is an interesting halacha, a couple ways to read it. There's going to be some machloket on this, how to handle guests, traveling, stuff like that. Vav. Bachurim ahochim l'mod chutz l'beitam. So this is men who go to learn out away from their home. Now, they could still be married, right? And their wife could still be writing at home. That's a simple reading. Tzrichim lahadlik ner shabbat b'chadram l'varech alav. So what's the case? If they're learning and they're sleeping somewhere else, and they're living in a separate room, separate apartment, on their own, they're eating there, everything is being done there, it's theirs, or it's set aside for them, and that's their miyuchad place, then they're supposed to light candles. Because, as we mentioned, there's a chiyuv. Right, the yesod, important to remember, in order to be yotze, lechatchila, or really according to be mekayim, the mitzvah derabban, lechas neros, every person has to be on some level do it himself, or have a wife or a shaliach do it for him. It could be a balabait, it could be somebody else. And there has to be light where you sleep. So even if your wife is lighting, here you're in your own separate room, apartment, where you have no shaychas to the balabait, to the rest of the house, and it's dark. They didn't have electricity, they didn't have bathrooms with the light on, or hallways. It's dark. So you have to light. Okay. When a person is obligated, simply put, it's dark, and there's no one else lighting in the house, and you're on your own, or you're in a separate house, but you have no shaychas to the house whatsoever. You can't go downstairs to get a cup of coffee, you can't eat there. That's the simple case we're talking about. Aval mi shehu etzel ishto. But let's say you're living with your wife, you have two separate bedrooms. Ein sarich lahadlik b'chadru levarich alav. You don't have to light in your bedroom because your wife lights for you in the house. So if you're away, so let's read the next couple seifim, and then we'll make sure that we're at least on one level, on one mahalach, it's clear. Zayin. Oreach she'en lo cheder meyuchad, gam ein madlikin alav beveito. So if you have a guest, he's sleeping in someone else's house, he doesn't have his own special room, everyone's using the room, other people, one of the members of the year's share the room with one of the kids, the gam, and you have nobody to light for you at home. You're not married, your wife is not lighting, whatever the situation is, so you yourself are not being yotze, and you don't have, so no one's lighting for you, and you don't have your own room, so you're not going to light in your own room, that's the situation. Sarich lishtatef bepruta. So you must pay money for the light to light for you. Now, they point out, Mishneh Berurah, the Magen Avraham, that if you are eating there, and it lets you eat the food there, lets you have even a cup of coffee, in other words, you're shaykh to the house, so even if you're a guest, they say you're allowed, that's, then you don't have to be mishtatek. Maybe it's better, maybe it's not, but you don't have to. To be mishtatek, you have to have a proper kenyan, you have to hand them over some money. But kenyan, some say it could just be verbal. You know, a person could be obligated to somebody in money, and Chashon Mishpat is brought down, you can just be obligated to pay to pay somebody just verbally. So perhaps that's the thing over here. Okay. Okay. I'll point out that if you're going to light in a room and you're not eating there, when you get back to your room or house, if you light there, it must last long enough. Otherwise, it's a bracha levatala. Perhaps, the whole question, I'm not going to get into it too much, but it's a whole question about electricity, if that counts for candles or not. So sometimes that, so there's a machloket. And if a person's not going to get back for his candles, but he'll get back for the lights in his house, the electric lights, so it's, if you turn on your lights when you light your candles and you do both at the same time and you have the bracha for both, so then if you hold electricity candles work, then light bulbs, so then that's fine. Otherwise, don't say a bracha if you're not going to get there in time to use the lights that you say a bracha on. Otherwise, it's a bracha levatala. Let's read another one and then yep. Chet. Shnayim o shlosha ba'alei batim ochlim b'makom echad. We have two or three people who are guests or live in one place. So what happens? Yesh omrim shekol echad mevarech al menorah shelo v'yesh megamgem b'davar. Some say, no problem. Everyone's allowed to light his own menorah and say his own bracha, which is generally the custom by most women that they, as far as I know, that everyone lights their own at the dining room table. All right, or in the dining room. And the reason why it's allowed is because every candle adds more light to the room. And you're allowed to have tosefet ora, you're allowed to say a bracha on additional light. You just, you know, you have in mind that you're not yotzei through the first lady and you want to add additional light. So there is your personal mitzvah of being mekayim the mitzvah. And it's not a bracha levatala because you're adding a few more lumens in the room, and every little bit makes a difference, even though it's not really noticeable, right? You can't really define which lumen is the one that you need for you, or it makes a difference for you. So every little bit of light helps, and it's nicer to have, it's pretty to have lights on in the room, so at least on some level, you are getting some benefit. And those are the ones you're having kavana to benefit from. But there is an opinion that says, really it's completely useless, you're just adding extra light that's unneeded, and according to this opinion, it's problematic. Is it usher, not usher? It's unclear. V'nachon the Shulchan Aruch writes, nachon, it's properly zar b'sfek brachot v'yavarech ela echad. And it's best to only have one woman light for everybody. One person, or one of the Bali Batim, it's a group of guys, a group of women, whatever, only one person should light for everybody. Okay, at least that's the din l'chatchila according to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, filo b'di'evit, some say women, some svardak poskim say that a woman, that once you're just adding light to the same place and you're not really doing anything, then you should not say a bracha, you can light, but without a bracha. Or you can light in your bedroom, or light somewhere else where nobody lit, so then you have usage for your light. Aval anu eno agin ken, the Rama says, we're not worried about this opinion. It's not a problem. Lechatchila, multiple women can light multiple menorot in the same room, and that is brought down also in the Kaf HaChaim. That's also the minhag by many svardim. So if they do that, it's not a bracha levatala. Again, it's unclear what's ideal, but it's certainly not a bracha levatala. So thumbs up. Common if a person one common scenario. Again, there are different opinions what to do in a hotel room or in a hotel when people stay. So many times, so this question is, if they're all going to light, and you can't light on your own personal table, and you're all going to light in the cheder ochel, and you're all going to see the light, so generally by Ashkenazim it's not a problem, by Sephardim it's a machloket, what to do, lechatchila, say a bracha, not say a bracha. It's more of a problem really for Ashkenazim as well, if they set up a table, candles, like in the entrance of the cheder ochel, but where you eat, you're getting zero benefit. So that is a question for everybody. It's a question. But what to do with that situation? So some handle it differently. But some say it's okay. Some say it's not okay. With the bracha, without a bracha, maybe light also in your room. It's a question, can you light fire in your room? You need permission. Maybe just light. Maybe you don't need permission. All these questions. It's a bit much. So, okay, I think at least we mentioned the point about the Right? I know someone who lights. I know some people will light and say a bracha on the bathroom light, and then for their bedroom, and then have a mind and go light downstairs in the cafeteria, or the hallway to the cafeteria if they set up over there, and you have no choice. But different opinions. You know what works. The most. But it's always good not to do a bracha levatala and make sure there is light. And then you're makayim the mitzvah on some level, and obviously you won't have to light any knas candles for the next week. Say I go travel to Los Angeles, and I stay at my sister's home. I have a keter miyuchad over there, so they give me to use. It's the office. So, but it's actually not exactly miyuchad because it's their office and people can use it during the day. So. And my wife lights at home, so I don't have to light. Also, I'm eating there. That's another reason why I wouldn't have to light candles myself. I don't even know if there's a chumrah to be mishtatef, but perhaps. Let's see. Some raise a question. If a wife lights for you, Pashas, it doesn't matter. If she lights for you wherever, it's fine. But some say it's only she lights in your house. So the words Beveso is written in the Shulchan Aruch, and so therefore if she lights in the hospital, you go away, and she goes away on vacation to two separate cities, and she lights and she's a guest, and some say it doesn't work for you. But it's a little difficult, especially since no Rishon says that. In the source of the Shulchan Aruch, if you look it up, it's in the Beit Yosef, who quotes the Mordechai. There he doesn't specify the house. Probably here it's just Derech Agav, and not specific. But again, that is a discussion. Okay, I think that mainly covers basic. Okay, if you're a guest in someone's house and you're not eating there, what do you? You're not eating there, but you're sleeping there. So again, Pashtus, you could light anywhere as long as you're going to use that room if it stays lit, because even when you're a guest, you can still use their coffee or this or that. You can give them money if that's not good enough for you. Or some say you should light in a bedroom. Some say you should always light in your bedroom. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tet. Let's go. Hamadik bezavit ha'bayit ve'ochlim b'chatzer. A person lights and eats in one... A person lights in one room and he eats in a outside or in a different room and doesn't get any benefit. And you won't get any benefit. Because it's going to burn out. If by the time you get back, they're not going to stay lit, that's a bracha levatala. So wherever candles you're lighting, you have to make sure you get benefit from them. Otherwise, it's a bracha levatala. Okay, and so always light in a place where you're going to be. Perhaps you can be somech on some level, your candle, the lights in your house, if you turn them on and off and you light for them, if you hold it, that counts. But really, wherever you say a bracha on those candles, those are important to make sure you get some benefit. They point out that even if you start Shabbos early, it's okay, because you're still going to be getting some benefit when the sun starts to set, even though it's still light outside. You still get some light from them, even if you eat early, and it's light outside, it's also pretty, and so therefore there is some benefit. So it's obviously okay to light candles. But it's better if you're going to do early Shabbos that you have candles at last when it's really helpful. Okay. Okay. Yod. Gebal halachas gedolos. Kevan shehidlik ner shel Shabbat chalav Shabbat v'neser bimlacha. So this is a little bit what we touched upon by the Ashkenazic minhag, but when they say the bracha. What started, I believe the first source that's mentioned in the Rishonim is the Bahag. And he says that when do you accept Shabbos? By lighting, not by saying the bracha, because you have to say the bracha first. Then when you light the candles, the lighting forces you to accept Shabbos. You're doing a maisa of accepting Shabbos. That's the design. Okay? Ve'al pizeh, so therefore, according to his custom, which again is not the halacha, mikarden, Nuragot ktsat nashim shachar shaberichu veliku hanerot mashlichot laaretz apetzila shabiyadan veliku ba ve'en mechabot otan. So what do? As soon as they finish lighting the last candle, they basically drop the match, because They accepted Shabbos, and they can't put it out anymore. V'yesh omrim, right, so halacha is not like that unless that you have kavana for that to be the case. You're accepting Shabbos by lighting. Otherwise, you're not. V'yesh omrim, in other words, so therefore, for particular, for Sephardic ladies, because by Ashkenazim, they do accept it by saying the bracha, unless they have specific kavana not to. By Sephardim, since they don't have to accept Shabbos right away, and with Stam, without saying anything, they're still allowed to do a malacha after they light candles if they need to. Unless, when they light, they have in mind that they're accepting Shabbos. V'yesh omrim, she'imat nekodem she'idlika, she'inam nekabel et Shabbat, ad she'amara chazan baruch hu moyo. And according to the Bahag, if you have kavana not to be starting Shabbos right away when you light, then it works. To wait until you're ready later on to say Baruch Hu. Okay. By the way, by men they say everyone writes by men they don't accept Shabbos when they say the bracha. For men they say the bracha and they can light and then they can do whatever they need to do afterwards without any kind of a tanai. V'yesh omrim she'eno mo'il la. And some say no, it doesn't matter if you have in mind. You did a ma'isa of lighting, and you're chayev to accept Shabbos. That's an opinion in the Bahag. V'yesh chokim eno al ba'al ha'olachas completely, v'omrim, she'ein kabbalah Shabbos tali ba'adlaka haner ela b'tfilat arvit. And some say it has nothing to do with lighting, you don't accept Shabbos, daven. That's for Sephardim. Shekevan she'amar, or for men, for Ashkenazim. Shekevan she'amar ha'chazan baruch hu ha'kol porsim u'lachtan. They only are porish from when they say Baruch Hu, when they daven, Ole Didan, it's not Baruch Hu. Kevan shetchila Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbat, Havikin Baruch Hu Leditu. It's when we say Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbat, or according to most, probably it's when you say Bo'ikala, Bo'ikala, and the end of Lecha Dodi. Okay. Agav, Aminak Sheota Isha Madleket Mekabel Shabbat Badlaka Imlo Shetatin Etchila. But again, he says, reiterates our minak by Ashkenazim, when they say the bracha, they accept Shabbos unless they have in mind otherwise. I feel it tonight. Believe Sagi, and you can just tell yourself in your mind, I'm not accepting Shabbos. You don't have to make a whole announcement. Aval Shaar Bnei Abayit Mutarim Melacha Adbar. But everyone else is allowed to do Melacha. And he says that the ideal place, if you're going to light in this, if you're going to light in a room or in a house, the best place to light, if you're lighting, is at the table. Okay. Some say if you're a guest, it could be your bedroom because someone's already lighting in the shulchan where you eat in the dining room. That's okay. About lo b'sha'ar ha'neiro shababayit. Okay, not lighting in other places. In other words, even though you need to have light in the other places, the ikar place and the place to say the bracha is in the dining room. Now, when you light, you have to light in a place where you're makayim the mitzvah of lighting. You can't light somewhere else that you're not makayim the mitzvah and then walk and then carry them in. But if, not to move them around, but if both places you're yotzei, then it's okay. You are allowed to. Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to move them around if both places you are yotzei. Okay. I think we saw all this. Okay, let's go on. Yiral, alfa pishaloit palua kahaladain. Now, what happens if people didn't daven yet? Im kadam hayachid vihit pelel shel Shabbat mibod yom. One guy on his own accepts Shabbos early. Chal alav kabbalah Shabbos ve'asur be'asiyat malacha. So for him, it's aser to do any malacha once you accept Shabbos after plaga mincha. Va'afilu im omer she'eno rotzeh lekabel Shabbat. And even if he says, I don't want to accept Shabbos, but since you daven marav and you said baruch hu, you have no choice, you accept the Shabbos. Okay. Yirbet. Imrova kahal kibu aleim Shabbat. Most of the community, simply put, there's one city, one shul, and most of the city and the shul accepted Shabbos already. In other words, but it can't be individually in their houses. It had to be that they accepted it publicly in shul or a minyan when they said baruch hu or marav, and it's all done b'tzibur. So then, if the tzibur, most of the tzibur accepts it, hamiut nimshachim achareim al korcham. So all of the individuals of the city that didn't accept it, they're the mi'ut, they have to accept Shabbos when everybody else does. Now, if you have a city where there's many bate kenesiot, so you can follow the latest shul, right? Assuming that, but obviously the latest is Shkia. You can follow the latest shul, and because every Beit Knesset is its own place, and one can one shul is the, you know, even if there's 9 shuls that accepted it, that 10th shul does not have to follow the other 9 shuls. There'll be different opinions. If one person, you know, is a member and davens in one shul, can he use the 10th shul that didn't start Shabbos yet? So that'll be a question. Perhaps less of a question if he regularly davens there. I don't know if paying membership is koveya, but if you regularly daven there, or at least Friday nights, so then there's more room to be meko. Okay? Gemo. Avam Shabbala Ir Be'er Shabbos Ukavar Kiblu Anshei Ha'ir Aleihem Shabbos. A person comes to shul and they already accepted Shabbos. Af Al Pi She'Adayin Hayom Gadol. Even though early in the day, they accepted Shabbos at Plag HaMincha, and you show up and you're carrying stuff, but there's no Eruv, and you can't carry in such a place. So you show up over there. For you, it wasn't Shabbos. You're traveling. You're coming from a car, and you're traveling. You show up in a city, and the whole city accepted Shabbos, and there's no Erev in the city. So im hayu alav ma'ot or shum chayfitz manicholi po. As soon as you walk into the city, you have to drop your stuff because it's aser to carry. Okay. We'll get into later on. We'll discuss what happens if you're carrying a lot of money and you're afraid you're going to lose it, what we could do. Yadalad, im biyom ha-me'unan tal tzibur v'chashu shechasheicha v'liku neirot v'kpalu tfilat arvit shel Shabbat. What happens if it's cloudy and the whole city made a mistake and they davened early before Plag HaMincha? They accepted Shabbos and davened Mariv for Shabbos before Mincha. What happens? V'yachar kach nifazu avim zarcha acham, and then the clouds move away and we realize, oh, it's actually not even Plag HaMincha yet. Einam tzrichel machzor v'kpalu arvit. So it depends. If it's after the tzibur,
they have to work out backwards.
They have to work out.
They have to work out once they see the sun.
Right.
When they daven, once it after
the exactly. So if they daven after Plag HaMincha, then you don't have to repeat Marav, right? That's if it's the tzibur. V'yom yachid hu she'ta'abakach. But if it's an individual, he does have to, because he has in mind only to daven Marav after Shkia, assuming that's the case. Otherwise, he's like they are. If you had a mind to daven after Plag HaMincha, and you did, then for a Tzibur or a Yachid, you don't have to repeat Mincha. But if you have a mind to daven only after Shkia, but it turns out you daven before Shkia after Plag, so then that's the difference between the Tzibur and the Yachid. That's for davening during the week and for Friday night. That's for the davening portion. What about malacha of Shabbos? Ule inyan asiyat malacha ben tzibur ben yachid mutayim the kabbalah Shabbat hayta beta'ut. So the malacha is you don't accept Shabbos. Shabbos wasn't started, even if it was after Plag HaMincha, because you had a mind it was Shkia. So then it's not. So then you accepted it by mistake, and therefore you can do malacha again. Some say, which is not the halacha, the ones who actually lit candles, they're stuck and they have to accept Shabbos, but not anybody else. And some say that candle that was used is aser. You're not allowed to move it. You can't even touch it because you might come to moving it and using it. And even once it extinguishes, for the rest of Shabbos, since it became muksa, because according to this opinion, it is asr b'malacha, and therefore, since it was muksa when Shabbos started, it's muksa for the entire Shabbos. And I think we're done. Yeah. Okay.